Thank you, Pastor, and what a great joy, what a great thrill it is for us to be with you again. We remember vividly being with you last year, and we're just so excited to be here again today. And it's been an exciting week camping. We've had a wonderful time. Our oldest son and two of our grandkids joined us over there, and we had a couple of wet days, but other than that, it's been a great week. And I've just got to tell you, we caught fish just about every time we've gone out with a boat. We've caught some northerns, got some bass, and so we've caught some fish. But the highlight was that our oldest son, he caught a 38-inch northern. And so that was a monster fish, a 38-inch northern. And by the way, we threw it back in. So if you're a fisherman, there's a 38-inch northern out there somewhere floating around. And so anyway, that was the highlight of our fishing part of the trip. But the highlight also is being with you this morning. So Pastor, thank you for inviting us and allowing us to be here. Stand with me if you would, please. And if you turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, and we're going to read verse number 26. We originally were going to preach on a different topic, but God seemed to redirect us into this particular theme this morning, Luke chapter 23, verse 26. We also find this account mentioned in Matthew 27, verse 32. You don't need to turn there, or Mark chapter 15, verse 21. Very short, small account, but three of the four Gospels mention this portion of Scripture. Let me read from the New King James Version, Luke 23, reading verse 26. And now the Bible says these words, "Now as they led him away," meaning Jesus, "they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus." If you'll join with me this morning, and let's pray together out loud this morning. Let's make it our personal prayer as we pray this prayer together out loud this morning. Pray with me out loud, please. Dear God, I thank you for who you are and for what you are doing in my heart, in my life, and in this church. And this morning, I ask you to further your work in my heart, in my life, and in this church. Have your way in me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, please. We had a period of time a couple of weeks ago where several unexpected things happened. You ever have unexpected things happen in your life? In one short period of time, we had a myriad of unexpected things happen. First of all, at 11:30 one night, Beth's mother called. She's 92 years old, and she called and she said she's spitting up blood. Well, we tried to assure her that everything's okay, and then she went to the doctor, and the next day, the doctors, they examined her, and they ended up putting her in the hospital for a week. They told her that she had TB. Well, by the time they did all the further tests, they found out that it had been a false positive. She was just fine, and she did not have TB. The doctor assured her, "You never will have TB." And so that was that incident. But just at the very same time when that was happening, Beth's brother, who lives in Rockford, Illinois, passed out. And he ended up in the hospital, and they found out he had two blood clots, one in each lung, and they did immediate emergency surgery on him. And later, when the doctors came into the room, the doctor came in, and he was shaking his head, and he said, "You shouldn't be here. You should not be here, because what he had, they referred to as widowmakers, but he's doing fine today." Also at the same time, Beth's aunt had been found fallen on the floor in her apartment, and she ended up in the hospital. Beth had a cousin who died during this time. We had a service that was canceled in Georgia at the time. It was just a myriad of these unexpected things that happened. And we find in our text this morning that Jesus is being led to the place of his crucifixion. He is carrying the cross piece of the cross. According to Roman custom, the up and down, the perpendicular part of the cross was always there in the ground. The one being crucified would carry the cross member to the place of crucifixion. And so they estimate that this piece of wood would weigh between 75 and 125 pounds. Very awkward to carry, 6 feet across perhaps. Jesus had been up all night long prior to this. Now it's into the next day. He's been beaten. He's been whipped. His beard has been plucked out. A crown of thorn had been pushed on his head. And Jesus is now carrying this cross piece to the place of his crucifixion. And perhaps he stumbled, he fell because of the abuse, the torture, and the exhaustion. Whatever the reason, a Roman soldier looked into the crowd that had lined the street to see what was happening. And the eyes of the Roman soldier fell on a man named Simon. And they grabbed Simon and they ordered him to carry the cross for Jesus. So he picks up the cross of Jesus, follows Jesus and the soldiers carrying the cross to the place of crucifixion. That's the backdrop for our text this morning and for our message. And this morning we want to look at three things that we can apply from this portion of Scripture. First of all, Simon was called to bear an unexpected cross. We know very little about Simon. We know the Bible tells us that he was a Cyrenian. He was from Cyrene in northern Africa. He was from another country. He was from another continent. We also know from another portion of Scripture that he was the father of two boys, Rufus and Alexander. Why was Simon in Jerusalem? We are never told. Maybe he was Jewish and he was there for the Passover. Maybe he was there on a business trip. Maybe he was there on vacation. We don't know why, but for some reason, Simon was in Jerusalem. And it appears from the wording that he was just getting to where Jesus was carrying the cross. For the Bible says, who was on his way in from the country. So Simon is just getting to where Jesus is carrying the cross. Maybe Simon had heard that something was going on and he wanted to see. Maybe he was curious and he wanted to see what all the commotion was about. But just as he gets there, Jesus stumbles and the Roman soldier singles him out and orders him to carry the cross. Simon had done nothing wrong. He was just there and he was picked out of the crowd. He was called to bear an unexpected cross. You and I, we too, will end up carrying unexpected crosses. It's not a matter of if, but it's a question of just simply when. We will find ourselves bearing unexpected crosses, unexpected burdens, unexpected weights. Some of them could be long-term, some of them might be short-term. But in a moment's time, we can find ourselves carrying an unexpected cross. You know, it only takes one moment, one phone call from the police department, one phone call from the doctor, one opening of the emails, one opening of our voicemails, and we find ourselves carrying an unexpected cross. Some examples may be, it might be the death of a spouse. It might be the death of a family member. It might be a financial problem, not because of overspending, but because maybe a hospitalization, maybe the loss of a job. It might be a family problem, maybe a problem with a child, a problem with a parent. It might be a problem with a brother or sister or relative. It might be a relationship problem. It might be a problem at the workplace. It might be a ministry problem. It might be a mate or a family member no longer serving Christ. Or it might be something someone else has done, but it affects you. Unexpected crosses that we are called to bear. The weight of the cross, the pain of the cross. Where suddenly we find ourselves bearing a cross we never thought we would be bearing. An unexpected cross. You know, some mistakenly think that, well, if we serve Jesus and if we just fast and we pray, these things just won't happen. But that's not the way it happens in life. You know, Job's friends in the Old Testament had that mindset. Job's friends came to Job and said, you know, If you were more, paraphrasing, you know, if you were more spiritual, these things wouldn't be happening to you. You know, there must be some kind of sin in your life or these things wouldn't be happening to you. But these things do happen. There is no such promise in the Word of God that we are not going to face issues and we're not going to face crosses and burdens. We will find ourselves from time to time in life called to bear unexpected crosses. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 24, Jesus said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." By the way, a takeaway we take from that verse is simply this: a cross was no excuse to not follow Jesus. Whatever that cross is, or whatever that cross was, it's not an excuse to not follow Jesus. Jesus said, "Let a man deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." He didn't say, "Well, if you got a cross, you're excused." He said, "No, take up your cross and follow me." Second point this morning. It gets better now. Simon was able to handle the cross. Simon was able to handle the cross. We do not read anywhere where Simon fell under the load of the cross. Or we don't read anywhere where the cross never showed up. Nor do we read where Simon refused to carry the cross. Or where Simon got angry about having to carry the cross. But rather, Simon was able to handle the cross. You know, some people, they get angry about the crosses they have to bear. They get angry at God. "God, how could you let this happen? God, why me?" Others get angry at their family if the cross involves a family member. Some get angry at people if the cross involves other people. Others get angry at themselves. "How could I have been so stupid to have done this? How could I have done this?" And if we allow the questions and the anger to fester, they will lead to bitterness and anger towards God. We need to trust God. We need to trust God. We may not always understand it. We may have questions and mysteries that we wrestle with, but we must trust God and the fact that He loves us and that He can use the crosses to further His work and accomplish His work in our lives. No, the crosses, perhaps they're not expected. No, the crosses, perhaps they don't at times seem fair. And no, the crosses, they're not the same for everyone. And no, the crosses aren't pleasant. But we must trust God. Listen to what it tells us in Romans chapter 8, very familiar portion of Scripture. Romans 8, verses 28 and 29. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God." By the way, that promise is not for everybody. Notice there's a qualifier there. All things work together for good to those who, what? Love God. To those who love God. To those who are called according to His purpose. For whom God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Thank you. Why was Simon selected? We don't know. I'm not sure why he was selected, but I'm sure it was not by accident. I'm sure that God knew, and I'm sure that God could use it. We must trust God, and like Simon, we can handle the cross. I'm reminded of a story, a testimony that I heard about Dave Reaver. Dave Reaver, young man, follower of Jesus, found himself in the Vietnam War. There in the middle of the Vietnam War, he was in front lines of battle. One day he's holding a phosphorus grenade in his hand, ready to throw that grenade, when a sniper's bullet hit the grenade and exploded next to his face. It blew apart his face. It blew apart his body. It blew him apart to such dimensions that he said, I could hear the medics saying one to another as they carried him away. The medics were saying, this one's never going to make it. This one's never going to make it. But by the grace of God, he made it. Multiple surgeries, time spent in the hospital, more plastic parts than any human being I know of. The only person I know of who can say, you want to hear me play the piano by ear, and he will take off his plastic ear and he will play the piano with his plastic ear. But one day after he'd been released from the hospital and he was being interviewed on TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network. This was several years ago when Jan and Paul Crouch, the founders of that television network, were still alive. And Jan Crouch was going to be interviewing Dave Reaver on her talk area or talk program. And if you've ever watched TBN back some years ago, Jan Crouch was a very colorful individual in many different ways. And she often dressed very colorfully and her hair was often very colorful also. And you never knew what color hair she would come with. And that particular day for that telecast, she had blue coloring in her hair. Nothing wrong with blue coloring, but she had blue coloring in her hair that day. And she's interviewing Dave Reaver, and they're talking back and forth. And she asked Dave Reaver the question, how could God allow that to happen? Dave said, I don't know. They talked a little more, and pretty soon she asked the question again. Dave, how could God allow that to happen? Dave said, I didn't know. I don't know. Talked a little more. She asked the question again. And by now he was getting rather mad because she kept coming back to that question and she just wouldn't give it up. And she kept asking the question, God, Dave, why and how could God allow that to happen? And sure enough, she asked it again. How could God have allowed that to happen? And by now he's mad. But he said, I knew I couldn't let it show because we're on television. But what I felt like saying was, go ahead, blue-haired wonder. You tell me why it happened. And then at that moment, she said something that went through him like a bolt of lightning. She said, Dave, do you know why and how God allowed that to happen? Because God knew that you could handle the scars. God knew that you could handle the scars. And at that moment, he said, I had an answer to the question. God knew that I could handle the scars. You see, the Bible tells us that God will never allow more than what you and I can handle. The great promise is found in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation, also translated trial or test, has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. With the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The promise is that God will not allow more into our life than what he knows we can handle. That's why we don't have to fear the future. We sang about not being afraid. That's why we don't have to be afraid of the future. Because God will not allow more than what we can handle. And what God does allow and what God does permit into our life, God can position that to further his work in our lives. Does that mean God brings all these things? No. Does God cause all these things? No. We live in a fallen world and things happen, but God can position the things that happen to further his work in our lives. And we find here that Simon was able to handle the cross. We need to trust God. We need to trust God, allowing his work to be accomplished in us and through us. Not allowing the questions to anger and fester, but rather to trust God. I'm reminded of the words to a chorus and a song that was quite popular a year or two ago a song by Lauren Daigle, a Lauren Daigle song, and it simply is entitled, I Will Trust in You. You don't want me to sing it to you? I'd empty out this sanctuary in a minute, so I'm not going to sing it to you. But let me share one verse and the chorus, and listen to the words. It says, you, meaning God, you are my strength and comfort. You are my steady hand. You are my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Your ways are always higher. Your plans are always good. There's not a place where I'll go where you've not already stood. Here's the chorus. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. I will trust in you, I will trust in you, I will trust in you. Simon was able to handle the cross, and so will you as a follower of Jesus Christ. Whatever comes, you will be able to handle it through Christ. Thirdly and lastly, we find Simon was brought closer to Jesus through the cross. Now picture the scene. Simon is just arriving where Jesus is carrying the cross. Jesus perhaps stumbled, or for whatever reason, they wanted somebody to carry that cross. So Simon, he's just arriving. He's not even at the front line. He's in the crowd somewhere. He's not right there. But now as Jesus stumbled, the soldier looks into the crowd and his eye catches Simon's eye. And he says, you, come here, carry this cross. And all of a sudden Simon goes from somewhere in that crowd to right now, he's right by Jesus. He's closer than he ever was before. Right there at the front lines, right with Jesus. He was one in a crowd of people, perhaps not even in front, most likely not, because he's just arriving. He perhaps was not very close to where Jesus was. But now when the soldier singled him out and said, you, come here, carry the cross. Now suddenly Simon was right there by Jesus, right by him carrying his cross, closer than he had ever imagined he would be. The cross brought Simon closer to Jesus. And so it is in our lives. The crosses in our life will bring us closer to Jesus if we let them. Closer than we ever could have imagined. One author said it this way, your most profound and intimate experience of worship likely will be on your darkest days, when your heart is broken, when you feel abandoned, when you're out of options, and when the pain is great, and you turn to God alone. Johnny Erickson Tada, who was paralyzed in a diving accident some years ago, she said, when life is rosy, we may slide by with knowing about Jesus, with imitating him and quoting him and speaking of him, but only in suffering will we know Jesus. Somebody put it together this way. God could have kept Joseph out of the jail in the Old Testament, but he didn't. God could have kept Daniel out of the lion's den, but he didn't. God could have kept Jeremiah out of the slimy pit, but he didn't. God could have kept Paul from being shipwrecked, but he didn't. God could have kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace, but he didn't. He allowed those things to happen, but each person was drawn closer to God as a result. Don't miss it. Each person was drawn closer to God as a result. Somebody said problems force us to look to God and depend on him instead of ourselves. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me read this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, reading verses 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, reading verses 8 and 9. Listen to what Paul says. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. That we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Somebody said it this way, we will never know that God is all you need until God is all you've got. Sounds like the chorus we sang earlier about all we want is Jesus. We will never know that God is all we need until God is all that we've got. The crosses in our life, they motivate us to pray, to fast, to seek God, to trust God. And as a result of that, we're drawn closer to Him. And we will never be the same after the crosses in our life. Those crosses, they will have either made us bitter or and driven us farther away, or they will bring us closer to Jesus, perhaps closer than we ever, ever could have imagined. Let me share a startling testimony that I heard just a couple of weeks ago at a conference in Orlando. This missionary lady was telling the story, young lady, probably now in her 30s maybe, and she was telling the story of what had happened in her life. She felt a burden for missions, and so she went on a short-term, two-year-term missions trip to South Africa. And after being in South Africa for 2 years, she then saw that burden and that calling grow even stronger for missions. And so she came back to the States, she raised her support, and she went as a four-year-term missionary to the country of Senegal. And there she was ministering in the country of Senegal when early in the morning, 2 a.m. on May the 19th, 2014, Amy Farley sat up in bed, startled to hear her bedroom door open. Within a few seconds, she knew that this was a bad situation. Two men quickly came in. They blindfolded her. They bound her hands with rope, and they stuffed a gag in her mouth, and they put a knife to her throat. And for the next 2 hours, they tortured her. They raped her. And it was just horrendous what she went through. They had threatened to kill her, but they didn't, and they just left. And so finally she wiggled herself free from the ropes that had been used to tie her, took off the blindfold and took out the gag, and she went a half mile to the neighboring missionaries. They immediately called the authorities and made arrangements. She flew back to the States. And here, back in the States, then she went through counseling and she went through a period of time where she was regrouping. But she said, in the long journey, she said, I realized that God didn't abandon me. He didn't forsake me. And I never thought of walking away from my faith. After 9 months of being in the States here, going through rehabilitation and counseling and all of the different things she went through to put everything back together again, she received an invitation from missionaries to go back to the mission field, this time to Vietnam, to help with an orphanage, to help with the pastoring of an international church there. And she was there for a few months, and then she thought, I'm going to make this a long-term commitment. She came back to the States, raised some more support, went back to there, back to the Vietnam. And 1 month after she got back there to Vietnam, the head missionary there of the couple that she was working with, he just dropped dead. 64 years old, and he just died. So now she was the interim pastor of the international church, and she was also head of the orphanage while they were looking for someone to be the permanent person in charge. Well, lo and behold, she ended up being the permanent person in charge. And today she is still the pastor of that international church. She still is leading the orphanage and doing various other things. But listen to what she said, and this is what caught my attention as she shared that testimony. Listen carefully. She said, "I'm not the person I was before the attack, even through all the grief and pain." She said, "I like much better who I am now. My love for the Father is so much deeper. My love for people is so much greater. And my faith is so much stronger." That's amazing. But that's what God can do in our life, even through difficult, horrendous circumstances. She said, in this case, did God cause this to happen? No. We live in a fallen world, and God is grieved many times with things that happen and things that people do. But God can position things that happen to further His work in our lives. That no matter what we are going through, God can use those things to further His work in our lives. No, the crosses, they are not pleasant, they are not fun, but they can serve a purpose and help us to accomplish, help Him to accomplish His work in our lives. The account of Simon reminds us, yes, there are crosses, but God loves us. And that's why there was the cross, the main cross. Because God loved us. Because Jesus loved us. God loved us so much that He sent His only Son to die on a cross for our sins. Jesus loved us so much that He was willing to come and die on a cross for us. The message of the cross is a message of love, it's a message of power, it's a message of victory, and it's a message of hope. And if God be for us, Paul writes, if God be for us, who can be against us? And Paul continued and he said, "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us, how shall He not give us all things?" We can trust Him and we can know that He loves us and He can use whatever we're in the midst of to further His work in our lives. And He will never give us more than what we can handle, and He will give us the strength, the power, and the enablement to go through whatever it might be. Let me finish with a story about a song that was quite popular in the years when we were pastoring. The name of the song is, on the chorus, is "Learning to Lean." The words go like this: "Learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus." Let me tell you the story that goes behind the chorus. It's written by a man by the name of John Stallings. John Stallings was an evangelist, did what we do, traveling from church to church. And what in this particular story now, where the song came from, John Stallings was preaching in Texas. He and his family, they lived in Florida, but he was holding services at a church in Texas. And one night in the midst of those services, in the midst of that series of services, he got a phone call from back home. And his wife said, "There's been a terrible accident, and our son has been rushed to the emergency room of the hospital. The condition is serious. Can you come home? It's serious." And so John Stallings told the pastor, "There's been an accident back home. Our son's been rushed to the hospital. I'm going to have to leave." The pastor understood. John Stallings said he hopped in his car and he started driving from Texas to Florida. He's driving east on Highway 10 and he's somewhere on the north shore of the Gulf of Mexico driving along. He said the rain was pouring down, the windshield wipers were going. He said, "I didn't know what I would face when I got back home. Didn't know the condition of my son, didn't know the circumstances." This was before cell phones, and so the last he had heard, there'd been a terrible accident. A son is in the emergency room of the hospital. The condition is serious. He's driving along, windshield wipers going, wondering, what am I going to be facing? And he said that's when the words of that chorus came to him. Learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. When he first had the opportunity, he found paper and pencil and wrote down the words of the chorus and later put music to it. Be encouraged this morning, whatever you might be going through. It hasn't taken God by surprise. He knows what the situation is. He knows what the circumstances are. He'll never allow more than what you can handle. But through his strength and through his power, he'll enable you to handle the cross. And in the meantime, he can position whatever is happening and use that to further his work in your life. And you'll find yourself closer to him than ever, ever before. Let's bow our heads together in prayer this morning. Beth, if you come to the piano, please. Father, this morning we thank you and we praise you from the very depths of our heart for who you are. Father, this morning we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Father, this morning we are so thankful and so grateful for Jesus. Because, Father, this morning we realize that without Jesus we would have no relationship with you. Without Jesus, we'd be on our own to make it in this life. Without Jesus, we'd have no home waiting for us in heaven. Without Jesus, we would have nothing. But Father, this morning, we are so thankful and so grateful for Jesus and all that we have available to us through Jesus. Father, we realize that you never force anything on anybody, but you wait for us to open the doors and the windows of our life. And Father, we pray that in the closing moments of this service, we would just open the doors and the windows of our life, allowing your work to be furthered within us. This morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around, please. I don't know each person here this morning, and I don't know where you are at in your spiritual life. And this morning, you might say, preacher, you've just said a few moments ago that without a commitment of our life to Jesus, we have nothing. We have no relationship with God. We're on our own to make it in this life. No home waiting for us in heaven. The things that we preached on this morning, they're not applicable to our life. But the good news this morning is, if we've never made that commitment of our life to Jesus this morning, he stands with his arms wide open, just waiting. He's just waiting for you this morning with open arms, saying, come to me and I will cleanse you. I will forgive you. I'll make you a child of God. I'll be with you while you walk on this earth. I'll prepare a home for in heaven when this life is done. He's waiting for you with open arms this morning. Secondly, you might be here this morning and say, preacher, I've done that before, but you know that as sure as you're sitting here this morning, you're not living by that commitment you made to Christ. And something we committed our life to years ago, but we're not living by today, doesn't do us any good. The issue isn't years ago. The issue is where we at this morning. But the good news this morning is Jesus stands with his arms wide open saying, come back to me. Come back to me. I still got a plan for your life. He's waiting for you. Thirdly, you might be here this morning and say, preacher, I am a follower of Jesus, but there's stuff in my life that shouldn't be there. And I need Jesus to cleanse me, to wash me, to forgive me of the sin in my life. And the good news this morning is Jesus stands with his arms wide open, just waiting to cleanse, to wash, to forgive. If we're just willing to repent and turn from the sin, he stands with his arms wide open, just waiting, just waiting, just waiting. This morning, we're not going to have you come forward, but just simply right where you're seated in a moment. If you need to make that commitment of your life to Christ, or you need to recommit your life to Christ, or you need cleansing and forgiveness of sin, in a moment, we're going to ask you to slip up your hand, and then we're going to have one word of prayer for everyone who slipped up their hand this morning. So this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, and no looking around, please. If you need to make that commitment of your life to Christ, or you need to recommit your life to Christ, or you need cleansing and forgiveness from sin, this morning, right here, right now, right where you're at, just slip up that hand right now. Just slip it up right now. I see that hand. You may put it down. I see that one and that one and that one and that one. I see those hands. You may put them down. Are there still others? Still others? Still others? Still others? We'll wait a moment longer. Still others? Father, this morning you've seen the beautiful sight. Individuals responding to the tuggings of your Holy Spirit upon their hearts. And Father, we know that you love them, and we know that you are thrilled at the tenderness of their hearts. And Father, we know this morning that you know why they have raised a hand this morning. And I pray, Father, this morning you will minister to the very reason why they have raised a hand this morning. I pray, Father, this morning you will cleanse them, you will wash them, you will forgive them of the sin in their life. As they, in this quiet moment, as they admit and acknowledge their sin to you and ask you, the forgiver of sins, to cleanse them, to wash them, to forgive them of the sin in their life. And I pray, Father, this morning you'll come and live within them by your Holy Spirit, if you're not already there. And I pray, Father, you will help them as they live for Jesus from this day on. Father, this morning we thank you for your cleansing and forgiveness. Thank you that you dwell within us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you're going to help us as we live for Jesus from this day on. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. And we just pray it with thanksgiving in our hearts. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.